ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय इदं अनन्तरं
हि
व्याप्तं
त्वयैकेन
दिशश्च सर्वा दृष्ट्वा भूतं रूपं उग्रं तवेदं लोकत्रयं प्रव्याथितं महात्मन् जब आपृथिव्योर् इदमन्तरं हि व्याप्तं त्वयैकेन दिशश्च
सर्वा
दृष्ट्वाद्भुतं रूपम् उग्रं तवेदम् लोकत्रयं प्रव्यथितं महात्मन् From outer space, a prithivyo, to the earth, idam, this, antaram, between, he, certainly, vyaptam, pervaded, tvaya, by you, ekena, alone, disha, directions, cha, and sarva, all, drishtva, by seeing, adbhutam, wonderful, rupam, form, ugram, terrible, tava, your. Idam, this, loka, the planetary systems, tarayam, three, pravyatitam, perturb, maha-atman,
O great one.
Translation. Although you are one, you are spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space in between. O Great One, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. Purport. Dyava Prithivyo, the space between heaven and earth, and Loka Trayam, the three worlds, are significant words in this verse, because it appears that not only did Arjuna see this universal form of the Lord, but others in other planetary systems saw it also. Arjuna's seeing of the universal form was not a dream. All whom the Lord endowed with divine vision saw that universal form on the battlefield. So Krishna here is showing to Arjuna the universal form. This universal form means how Krishna enters everything, how he is inside everything, and how he's empowered everything. Because whatever there is within this world, it only takes on its attractiveness, it only creates attachment, or it only has the ability to work, because Krishna has expanded into it. So the difficulty with the material world is that we see it separately from Krishna. This is the problem. We think something is very wonderful, as special, on its own. We see the nice, you know, nature, nice sunrise or sunset, or some natural phenomena, and we think, oh, this is very beautiful. But actually, it's not beautiful. It's just dead matter. There's nothing beautiful about it. There's nothing dynamic about it. Dead matter does not move. I mean, it's a very known fact. I mean, here, something that you deal with every day. When the soul is present, there's movement. When the soul is not present, there's no movement. Right? And then you wait some time, and there'll be movement again when other living entities come, and then they start living in the body, and then it starts, you know, expanding and doing all kinds of different things. But without life, there is nothing interesting. So what happens is that the living entity forgets or does not know that what is attractive in this world is Krishna. That's all. Anything beautiful, anything powerful, anything intelligent, you know, anything with any influence or detachment or wealth, anything, it's Krishna. But we're actually thinking it's the material energy. So this is the illusion. Is that, that's why it's called Maya, that which it's not. We think this is nice, this thing is nice. But it's not nice. It's not what's wonderful. It's something Krishna has imbued it with that makes it wonderful. That is what it says. So actually what's attractive is Krishna. Right? So then someone could say, yes, yes, it's all Krishna, therefore for me to enjoy this material world is nice. It's good, it's Krishna. But the point is if we actually see this Krishna, then what is the position of the soul? Right? It means we have to understand what is religion. Religion means understanding the actual nature of something and dealing with it according to its nature. Right? Understanding who we are and our nature and acting according to that nature. So, dharma means recognizing the nature and acting according to that nature. This is dharma. If we act against the dharma, it's not proper. It's unnatural. Natural means acting according to the nature of something. So then, if we look at it, ourselves, we are servants and God is the enjoyer. So we say, yes, it's all Krishna, so therefore I can go to the movies and, you know, smoke and do whatever I like, because it's all Krishna. What's nice about it is Krishna. But the thing is according to dharma, are we supposed to enjoy Krishna or serve Krishna? That is the point. So even on this concept, which is the impersonalist concept, then we also cannot just not understand. Because if we understand this is God, then how will we enjoy it? Right? How will we be able to, that potency, how will we be able to deal? It will completely change our view. So, having that knowledge then makes it, we can't enjoy the material energy. Right? Like children, they enjoy eating so many things, they have a good time, right? They enjoy better than anybody, right? Because for them, it's just something to eat, right? But for an adult, very difficult to enjoy, because they're thinking about their health, they're thinking about, you know, if I eat this, will I get fat? Or if I eat this, will I get indigestion? Or, you know, so they'll taste a little bit of it. Oh, they're very nice, yes, they're good, good, like this. They can't, because that knowledge makes it, you cannot enjoy. And children are ignorant, so they enjoy. So, as we have knowledge, then we find enjoying the material energy is not either attractive, nor actually even very possible. To try to enjoy, one has to be in ignorance. So then, the whole idea is we see God in everything. That is proper. That is a proper understanding, a proper development. But then how to relate to God in this position? You know? If God is entered everything, how to deal with God as he's entered everything. So that then becomes the whole process of devotional service. It's how to see Krishna in everything and how to deal with Krishna in everything. So this is the whole point. So here, Arjuna is seeing Krishna in that, you know, how he's pervaded everything at once. And then it's not so attractive. But it's reality. It's the fact. Of course, here he's seeing everything at once, so it's a bit overwhelming. But we are seeing, you know, one thing at a time, a few things at a time, appreciating like that. So then the whole devotional process is teaching us how to see Krishna in everything, and then how to deal with that. What does that mean? How we should deal? What is our duty? How we must deal with Krishna as he's entered into everything. And then if we connect that to Krishna, then it becomes nice. It becomes purifying. This is how we purify ourselves. Because we have our needs and attachments, which are illusion. Right? We actually think the material, due to conditioning, we think there is something to gain in this material world. Right? There's something here. Some gain will be there. Some security will be there. If I get these things. But there is no gain, there is no security. Right? We see, whatever it is. I mean, if you think about it, anybody you know has always been wealthy. Anybody you know has always been safe. Even if this lifetime, how many generations? Right? The people who are rich today, were they rich yesterday? Some were, but how many generations back? How many generations do you go back before the guy was just some farmer in some village? Right? Or, if they were a big family, are they rich today? Right? How many generations have they been wealthy? Right? Two, three, especially nowadays. Before, longer. Two, three. Generally two, three. Three generations is the maximum that somebody's generally piety, or it takes until their impiety catches up with them. Right? The grandfather, he was very pious, accumulated so much wealth, it'll go into the grandson's lifetime. But within the grandson's lifetime, you will see it will go. Right? Unless the father or the grandson themselves are on equal piety to maintain it. And nowadays, you know, sitting in McDonald's, we don't find that piety. You know, there's a slight difference, right, between the grandfather, the great-grandfather, getting up early in the morning and doing some kind of sadhana, and then, you know, religiously doing his various work and accruing by, you know, proper means his money and keeping it and not spending it on, you know, nonsense things and that. And the young people now in their cars and fashion clothes and, you know, fashionable places to eat and all this and that, and getting up at whenever they get up, 8, 9, 12, going to bed whenever they go to bed. So we can see this, how it will last. How it can last. So therefore, it cannot be prosperous. So three generations, maybe, very possible. If not two, not one, and even less than one. Duryodhana, born in a great family, but because of their insulting Draupadi, in one life, they finished everything. Not only did they finish their life, their brother's life, and the whole dynasty. Right? Up to Pandu, they were all known as the Kauravas. And then, after Pandu and Dhritarashtra, they had their children. The Pandu's sons were known as the Pandavas. And Dhritarashtra's sons were known as the Kauravas. Right? And they even tried to, the Kauravas tried to remove the Pandavas from the line. But then we see after the war, there was not one Kaurava, not one, nothing. No son, no grandson, no niece, nephew, nothing. There was not one person from Duryodhana or Dhritarashtra's side of the family to carry on. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So then the Kauravas were the Pandavas. So we see just one incident destroyed a whole family. Right? Let alone today, incidents happen every day. It's just normal. Incident is normal. That's just life, right? Modern lifestyle. You have to be practical, right? So we must create a sinful incident every day. Impiety is the natural. And we see, yes, poverty, all these things are underneath us. So the whole idea is then how to see in your life Krishna. Whatever you have attraction to, whatever you have attachment to, whatever you are endeavoring for, you have to try to see Krishna in that. Right? And then, since Krishna is in it, how are you supposed to deal with those attachments? How are you supposed to deal with those attractions or those activities? So that they're properly connected to Krishna. Right? So that is the process for freeing us from this material entanglement. So that is a major part of our activity. And then beyond this, then we have how to actually develop our love for Krishna. One thing is freeing us from our material entanglements. The other is developing love for Krishna. So by this process of hearing, chanting, remembering, you know, associating with the Vaishnavas, like this, serving the deity, you know, doing service in the temple. This way we attract ourselves to Krishna. And then seeing Krishna in the everything that we do, that will purify us from this material entanglement. So this is the whole idea, is the universal form. Then we see how Krishna is in everything. You know, it's not something new. We think it's something new, fresh, right? Each generation grows up and it's something new and fresh, right? Very interesting, right? New and fresh. And it's an interesting thing. So, you know, whatever is going on now, like the youth of India, now they have discovered, you know, the material energy, and it's something new and fresh to them. You know, but the things that are new and fresh to them are, you know, very old hats. You know, like here you have. Here, McDonald's is a family restaurant, right? Something special, new. When I grew up as a kid, it's just a fast food junk shop, right? Like the chop wall in the corner. Right? You know, you have the guy with the, what do you call him here? A little funny little puris, and you stick some stuff and stick them in that tamarind water. Pani puris, okay. It's like that. They're like that in America. Nothing new, nothing special. Here it's some new, special, exotic, right? And then all these jeans and that, they're just, that's what you wore, you know, it's just like, you know, you have a mat, you sit on the floor, you know, so you put on a pair of shoes, and it's just normal. Now it's something new, special. And the new generations are always rediscovering something old. I was hearing today that new fashion in America is they're dressing and listening to the music and all that of the 30s. They even buy clothes and everything. There's people that specialize in finding old clothes, you know, old people that are, you know, still have it in their closets. They get that and then sell it, and the young generation buys that. They dress up in that way, and they listen to that music and dance those dances. But it's the same thing that people did 60 years ago. But it's new, special. So this is the illusion. Youth are always thinking that they found something new. It's the same old thing that the previous generation they thought was new, and the previous generation before that thought was new. Right? That's the same thing. So the study in the universal form is so that we understand this phenomena. Krishna is there. He's entered into thousands of heads, thousands of arms, thousands of legs. Why? means because it's Him. He's entered into everything. So there's nothing new. It's Him. If you find it's new, it's because Krishna's new. Otherwise, the thing is old. It's the same old thing. He's just new. Right? That's all. Same thing. You know, you go to sleep at night, you're tired and worn out, don't want to see or talk to anybody. Go to sleep, in the morning you wake up and then, fresh day, new, yes. It's the same sun, same air, same everything, same apartment, right? Same streets and same cars honking. It is fresh today, right? Because Krishna's there. Without Krishna, there would be no idea of this freshness, newness. It would not be there. So this whole idea of the universal form is to understand how everything is just old and chewing the tube, that's all. There's nothing special about it, unique about it. You think they're very special. They're the same all over the world. The youth are exactly the same. Right? A dog in Bombay, is it any different from a dog in Calcutta? Right? Or the Dross? Yes, the Dross dogs are special. Or maybe the Delhi dogs, they're the unique ones. No, they're all dogs, the same dogs. So it's the same thing. Same youth, same taste, same smell, same sight. Whatever you see is beautiful. Someone else has already seen the same thing beautiful a million times. So where is that consistency? How can it be so consistent? Because Krishna's dead. So that's the whole idea of this whole thing of the universal form. We see that basically three chapters are dedicated to these concepts. The universal form, the potencies of the Lord, the opulences of the Lord. So the 7th, the 10th, the 11th chapters. They discuss these. So you know how to see Krishna and everything. What is it that makes it attractive, makes it nice? Because it's Krishna. So then if it's Krishna, why bother with the thing that it's dealing with? Right? You just go directly to Krishna. So that's the main part, is that the interest there, it should be Krishna. But since we are conditioned, we have these attachments in that, then yes, we take these aspects that we're attracted and attached to, but we see Krishna in it, and how would Krishna want us to deal with Him in this situation? Does that make sense? They were attracted to a house. Okay, house. Everybody's attracted to a house. It's not something special, new. It's the same thing. Right? Basic principle is something on the ground that you stand on. Right? No one's looking for a house if there's no floor. Right? And then there's some seating on the top. And then there's some kind of thing, something on the sides to hold it up and to create some shelter according to the weather. Right? And there's some way that you can make it so that it's yours and others can't come and disturb. So it's a house. But that potency to give shelter, hold a space, that you can put things inside. You know, that ability of its aesthetics, right? It's all Krishna. So how is one supposed to deal with Krishna as a house? Right? It's Krishna, then we just enjoy it as we like. But since it's Krishna, then we have to enjoy the house how Krishna likes us to enjoy in the house. Right? We do sinful activities in our house? No. We have to do proper activities in our house because it's Krishna. Right? Can we just neglect it? We have to take care of it because it's Krishna. But how do we take care of it? How we like or how it needs to be taken care of? Right? So that's the thing. We have to see what is the nature. So then it takes it out of the realm of our own attachments and connects it to Krishna. That's a very subtle depth in this whole thing, universal form, everything. How to touch everything and connect it to Krishna. Then we see later chapters, more details given how the modes of nature are working, right? How this divine demoniac mentality, we can tell within ourselves what is proper mentality, what is not proper mentality. So in this way, the Gita gives us a whole study on how to understand What is this material energy and how to deal with it? How to get out of this material energy? So Arjuna is the Prabhupada is pointing out that it's Krishna is everywhere. Earth, the heavens, and in between. So that's everywhere. Guru Vaswa. Not only he's seeing it, those who else on the other planets, they're seeing it. So it's very big, very wild, very terrible. Material nature is not nice. We make it look nice, but it's not. We think it's wonderful, but it's not. Like that. Any questions? Comments?
Maharaj, this universal form is very terrible looking, but still the Mayavadis seem to be attracted to this. What is this phenomenon? Anjana is saying it's terrible, just stop it, stop it. But Mayavadis seem to be worshipping, they like it.
Because they're trying to is the material energy the living entity is attracted to enjoy. So basically then you have to say it's not attractive and then you can not enjoy it. Right? Like someone's very attractive, let's say, to women. So then you have to point out how women are not actually attractive. Right? And then they can say, okay, I won't be attracted to women. Right? But the problem is they've been empowered with the potency to be attractive. So it doesn't actually work. Because the point is that they are beautiful. It's because it's beauty of Krishna. Women are beautiful because it's Krishna's beauty. It's not their beauty. Anyway. So the Maya bodies then, they take this thing to make it, take the other side. Because then they won't get involved in it. They're very attracted by it, but you make it bad. You know, it's like you give, what's it? Give a dog a bad name and then hang them. Like that. But that's the process. The first beginning to pull ourselves out of the attraction of material nature is to point out its faults. That's the first thing. But the actual thing is that is to point is what we're looking for is not in the material nature, it's in Krishna. The Maya bodies, then they get stuck at this point. That's why they like the universal form. But for a devotee like Arjuna, then it's not attractive. Because what's attractive is Krishna. And so then he takes it the point of Krishna in his transcendental form in the spiritual world. That is what's nice and attractive. So he goes beyond liberation. So the Maya bodies aren't going beyond liberation. They're aspiring to get to liberation. Right? And the karmis, they're absorbed in material energy. They want to enjoy the material nature. So the impersonalists are in between. So they have a bad opinion of the material energy, but they don't have a proper understanding of the Supreme Lord. So therefore then the universal form becomes attractive to them. And it's a beginning for them. Because then at least they get an idea that there is a form. The whole idea is the impersonalist is no form. So then you say, you know, the sun and moon are his eyes, and mountains are his backbone, and the rivers are his veins, like this. So it gives an idea that there is this aspect. Like that. So for them it's attractive because it's actually bringing them forward towards the person. Arjuna, who has a complete understanding of personalism, is not attractive because this is the material form of the Lord. It's Krishna through material energy. Right? He has very beautiful eyes. So you don't, the sun and moon may remind you of those eyes, but the impersonalist, those are the eyes. So those aren't as nice as his original eyes. That makes sense.
there's a difference between the universal form which Krishna showed Arjuna, and Krishna also exhibited in the assembly of Duryodhan, also that which Yashoda saw in the mouth of Krishna.
Is to Krishna, to Arjuna, he showed the complete form. Means everything all at once. It becomes a bit much if everything's happening at once. To Duryodhana, I saw partial form. Just enough to let him know that there's no need to make his foolish schemes and tricks with Krishna. You do that with other people, yes, but with Krishna, don't bother. You know, it's like it's not worth it. You know, so he's heard he's God, but you know, just show him a little bit just so he understands he's God. And Mother Yashoda also would be some parts of it, but it's not all, because she didn't ask to see it. Arjuna did. You know, because he was asking about all these things. So he said, okay, I'll show you all everything. You want to see all the Mayapi? He said, I'll show you everything else. So he was playing with Mother Yashoda. So she saw all the different things. But she didn't, we don't hear that she sees all these arms and mouths and all these things. She saw the different planets and all the different things and the cosmic creation, and then, you know, comes down, and then, you know, then there's her, and then there's her child, and, you know, she gets bewildered, just to kind of play. Another difference, as one pointed out, is Arjuna, what he saw was outside. And what Krishna showed, Mother showed, was inside. Right? And so for Arjuna, it's Krishna has entered everything. But for Mother Yashoda, everything is in Krishna. Like that. That is not saying. So he also, basically the same principle was there when the Dhamma arena. You see, everything's in him. So you can't put a rope around the population. Because it's unlimited. So however big your rope is, it's always growing. So, therefore, you can never live it.
Is this universal form eternal or temporary?
The manifestation of the universal form is temporary. Because it's only manifested when the material energy is manifested. Means, when the material energy is predominant, there is no universal form, because the Lord's not inside. It's just a reflection of the spiritual energy. So it's just dead matter. You know, it has no purpose or form. It's just all mixed together 24 hours. When Krishna enters it, then it starts to separate, and then there's the creation that takes place. And Krishna enters all those things to give them. He enters it so that it starts working. It starts to function. Because without time, without ego, it won't work. So then Krishna has entered the whole thing. But the potencies that are there in the universal form, those are eternal. Those are always there. Krishna always has those potencies. But he just puts those potencies in certain places in the material world. He puts them in and takes them out. But the potencies themselves are eternal.
So in a sense, what the devotees of Krishna who are performing bhakti yoga should learn from this universal manifestation of Krishna which he showed to Arjuna. What we should take as a sense to understand and practically apply to our life.
The easiest thing is to take your life and figure out what are your attractions and attachments and needs. And then see how that's Krishna. That's generally, and generally one will think about it, he'll think according to his own sphere of attractions and attachments. You know, he'll look at it, whatever is his own mentality. That will be the approach. Because the universal form is unlimited. So it includes everything. Every mentality is there within it. So then whichever you take, then you approach it, then we'll see. That's the whole thing. Is so generally it's taken, because this is more intellectual approach. Generally it's taken down to the point of religion. religion is the natural way of seeing the universe and form and everything. Is that religion means understanding the nature of something and dealing with it according to its nature. Well, where does that nature come from? Right? Why do all men act like men? Right? They're all the same jiva. So why is it one group of jivas act as men, one group acts as women? Why do all children act the same? Right? You can take a mother here, and you can give her any child from any player in the world, and she can act with it in the same way and get the same results. A dog, anywhere you go, it's the same. Right? Indian dog, an American dog, you know, a big dog, a small dog, they all act as dogs. So you can deal with all of them the same way. You know, dog, tattva, you can deal with dogs. Right? Because Krishna has empowered that. It is Krishna. The maleness in men is Krishna. It's not the jiva. The feminineness in one is Krishna. It's not them. And the dogness in dogs is Krishna. So that's the whole point, is we're thinking it's something special, unique. We're something special and unique. My situation is special and unique. No, it's all just Krishna. If it's special, it's because it's Krishna. It's not because it's us. Just because it comes within our realm, we call it ours. So we become attached to it. But it's Krishna's. Money belongs to Krishna, but the money we have, we're attached to. The money we don't have, then we don't care about. Right? Stock market crashes, our money's not there. Well, money comes, money goes, yes, very philosophical. Our money was in that stock exchange, then it's a very lucrative. Very tangible. The money's Krishna's. Lakshmi is Krishna's. Everything is Krishna's. So that's the whole idea of this, is that we're thinking it's something special and unique, but it's not. It's just Krishna. So, to really look at this seriously means you have to really seriously, you know, chant about Krishna, read about Krishna, associate with serious devotees. Because otherwise, you're going to find the taste is lost for material life. Because when you see it as it is, it doesn't have the same attraction. So therefore you have to have a taste somewhere. So therefore you have to find it in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise one becomes impersonal. That's one thing you have to watch out. Be careful.
This word is Adbhutam Ugram. When Arjuna is addressing this form, is very terrible and horrible to bear it. How is that the Supreme Lord, who is so beautiful and attractive, how can become so terrible and address so much wonderful order? How it becomes so terrible in this appearance, although he is Krishna himself? And that too, a devotee is saying that this terrible form of this. So, he's not a demon or he's not a atheistic person. He's a devotee, loves Krishna in a particular class. Actually, he's addressing that form as terrible.
The point is that God is everything. And so he's going to manifest according to how one reciprocates with the Lord. So in the spiritual world, there is no terrible manifestation, because nobody there is terrible. Right? Everybody loves Krishna, so Krishna manifests a loving form towards there. In the material world, nothing is nice, it's all terrible, because the mentality of all the souls here is terrible. They all think they're God. So it's a terrible mentality. So naturally, everything they deal with is going to be terrible. Means if there's good, then there must be bad. If there's light, there must be darkness. it's morality, there'll be immorality. It's all there. Otherwise, then how do you say this is moral? Because you can distinguish it from what's immoral. Distinguish it from that. Because it's all there, Krishna. So in the material world is manifested because of the terrible mentality of the living entities to be separate from Krishna. So therefore, in the spiritual world, all the nice things are there. The material world is the reflection. So that's where all the bad stuff is. So it's just natural that the universal form will have that terrible element. Because that's what's going on here. Birth, death, old age, disease. That's what he's talking about, is terrible. You know, he's not saying because he has a nasty face or something. He knows that he's manifesting all this. These warriors are here. Why? Because of envy, greed, attachment, terrible qualities. So then Krishna is reciprocating with that. You know? So time is destroying them all. So it's all terrible. Material world is not nice. We think it's nice, it's not nice. Right? Material world on its own is not a nice place. Right? So what is nice within it is worship of Krishna, right? Association of the devotees, and following, you know, in dealing with our surroundings according to the proper principles for Krishna's pleasure. Then it makes it okay. Yeah. But we have to see Krishna in it. Otherwise, when we see the material world is terrible, then the tendency is to not deal with it. Right? So not deal with it. And then if you don't have a taste for Krishna consciousness, what will you do? You can't do nothing. So then the alternative is sinful life. Right? Because one's not taking the step fully. Right? So you're in a situation. Material, if you look at it, it's not nice. Right? So now, you could see, but because it's Krishna, then you have to deal with it as Krishna. So then one performs one's duties. And then it becomes nice. Like the Pandavas, they're in the forest, they're exiled, this, that. They just perform their duties. So it's nice, because they see Krishna there. Krishna has a plan, Krishna, everything is Krishna. Duryodhana, even though he has so much, he wants more. He's not seeing Krishna there. So whatever he has becomes boring. So he has to take up sinful life to get more. I saw a decal on a car. You know, decal? These things. It's, I don't know what you call them here. They're these funny, like, clear plastic things, and they take the back off and stick it on their windshield and stuff. And that, you know, something is there. So it's called a decal. So the decal is that all I want is everything. That's all. Very simple. So that's a problem. We have one thing, and we want all the things. We have some money, we want all the money. You know, we have some house, we want all the houses. We want all the, we want everything. So that's the problem. So how you get only by sinful means? So that's the difficulty, is that people see that there's some problem here. And so then they reject that thing and go for another one. But the other one has the same problem. So the point is this is what you get according to your karma. So how are you supposed to deal with this according to Krishna's direction? So that duty, that will then take one on. It has a taste. At least on the material platform, it's as good as you can get. You can't get any higher taste in the material world than the sense of duty.
That's it. You can't get higher.
Senses are lower.
The higher form is emotions, the mind. And senses work for a moment and then they're over. Mind can, you can think all day, all night about something material. So, and of that, then performance of duty. It's as high as you can get in the material world. So, but if you see the weakness in the material energy, and then look somewhere else, it'll be simple. Right? If you deal with what you have dutifully, then it's the best you can get in it. It's pious. But it still is the material world. It's still not a full vision. Right? One saw the bad side, the other sees the bad, but is seeing the good also. But the point is what is that bad good? That's Krishna. So that it's Krishna, how does Krishna want it dealt with? So that takes it to the transcendental. You understand these steps? So that's the whole process that's being described here in the Gita. How to take your life, whatever you're doing, and see it in connection to Krishna. Minimum is you should do your duty. Right? We see nowadays, you know, it's the Hindu thing, do your duty. Right? Dharma Rakshati Rakshataha, whatever. You protect Dharma, Dharma will protect you. Yeah, very nice, it's good, right? Better than, you know, the modern nonsense. But it's gotta go a step further. It's gotta, where does the Dharma come from? Right? Real Dharma is Krishna. Sarai Pumso, Arotamo, Yato Bhaktir, Adhok Sujay. Right? That is the real Dharma, is it Hoksha Jaskrishna. It's come from him. So that's what we're trying to get to. Right? So, being religious, but why? Where does the religion come from? It's come from Krishna. Right? Why are we following the religion? Just to be good Hindus? No, because it pleases Krishna. We're devotees. Hindus do it because it's nice. Devotees do it because it pleases Krishna. That's why the devotees can explain it and the Hindus can't. So it's simply sentiment for the Hindus to do. Yes, I am doing this good thing. And then the child asks, well, why I should do it? I don't know, but you should just do it. We've always done it. Right? And then, what do they do? They go off. So the youth, they don't care. Right? They care for any of the Hindu values. They don't dress as Hindus, they don't eat as Hindus. Right? And, you know, it's, you know, becoming a modern thing means now they have to, I've never seen, you wouldn't have to do it before. It was in every movie anyway. Now they have to make a movie that you should be nice to your mother and father, right? Isn't it? The latest big box office smash is that a movie about how you should be nice to your mother and father. Previously, every movie they would go and they'd touch their feet like this, and they'd go on, just do it. Exactly what they say. Right? And that's now, it's big now, and tomorrow. Don't forget, another movie will come along.
Although it has become a little more clear, but still this question came to my mind when you were answering Purusha Rupa's question. During the lecture also you were saying that Mayavadis, they would like to see this whole material creation as a terrible thing and give it up. And whereas a devotee would see everything good in connection with Krishna. Now, even in a devotee's life, we sometimes preach, okay, the body is nothing but a bag of mucus first to do everything, we preach all the time. So that is one aspect of looking at it. We know devotees who may be a grihastha but he wants to behave like a brahmachari, or sometimes a brahmachari wants to behave like a sannyasi, or a lady wants to behave like a pure devotee. All those things happen and problems are created. Like sometimes the attraction is so much that one of my friends, I remember, he wanted to marry the beauty queen of his college because he thought it will help him preaching in Krishna consciousness. So this is one side of it, that he wanted to connect everything to Krishna. And the other side is, no, I am a grihastha but I want the woman like a brahmacharya. This is the other side.
What is the last sentence? I am a grihastha, yeah?
Yeah. But still I want to be a brahmacharya. I am a brahmacharya. So you know, that is the extreme. Now you gave the answer that ultimately you do your Krishna conscious duty, that's what. But a little more clarification, how exactly intelligently a devotee applies these two aspects. One is looking at the reality as it is. That means reality is that okay, this material world is nothing but a dead matter. At the same time, the other reality is that this dead matter can be utilized beautifully in Krishna's service. Now how he should not get carried away either by both the extremes. That process of intellectually discriminating as a devotee, a little more clarification you can probably guide us on that.
See, you need the understanding of Dharma, of religion. See, the seeing what is not good about the material energy, that aspect, which is reality, is for to break our attachment to the material world. That means we're attracted to the material world, we're attached to the material world. Therefore, there's a material endeavor. In the spiritual world, they're attracted to Krishna, they're attached to Krishna, and there's spiritual endeavor, spiritual service. Right? So, therefore, this whole thing of attraction and attachment. Attraction means there's the element of eternality. And attachment means is the element of happiness. Therefore, dukkha layam shashvatam is temporary, it's full of misery. So this breaks our attachment for here. Then we can turn our attention to Krishna, which is then to always be hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this is the simplest application and the most direct. Material world is not nice because everybody is engaged according to their own individual pursuits and leaving out Krishna. When they understand this, they see Krishna, serve Krishna. So that's the best. You just surrender. But if you can't do that, then Krishna said you have to have something in between the two. So that then is the sadhana bhakti. If you can't do that, then work for Krishna. Which means according to your conditioned nature, engage that nature in Krishna's service. Sadhana means you engage that you have a conditioned nature. Just that you're here, so basic simple things, you need to eat, you need to sleep, you're influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. So by sadhana you will bring oneself up to do moral goodness and one will be able to conquer those things of passion and ignorance. So it's very generically deals with the conditioned nature. Working for Krishna means that you specifically engage your conditioned nature because the attachments are very specified. Like a grihastha, that's specified. Okay. So then that bridge means you have to see what is wrong with it, what is proper about it, and how to connect that to Krishna. Right? Okay. And how do you connect that to Krishna? So then that is the difficulty. Is that you have one thing that's used both ways. Right? So if one can see that, one can function. One can't see that, one has a difficulty. So to see two contradictory things as not as contradictory, they just apply differently, it means you have to see the principle that they're connected to. So first of all, then the easiest is Krishna. Because everything's come from Krishna, that means all contradictory things find their perfection in Krishna.
They all come from there. So there's no contradiction there. So that's one aspect. So then you have to be able to see then in that Krishna, the pious aspect of it, how to perform the activity to please Krishna, and what is the technical aspects of that pious nature, and at the same time see what is impious or what is just the bare truth of the material energy. So one has to be able to see these three. So then you have the pious means it's material, but it can be connected to Krishna. Impious means it's not connected to Krishna, and it's not very connectable to Krishna. Right? And transcendental means it's purely connected to Krishna. So the piety is the tricky point. Krishna warns about that in the Gita, is that someone situated in goodness then thinks everything's perfect. But one has to go beyond goodness. Goodness is the basic platform you should function on in the material world. Because it's the safest, it's enlightening, it's the most satisfying. You know, it doesn't have that dynamism of passion, but it's actually satisfying. Because passion is never satisfying. Yeah. So then it's there, but at the same time you can become conditioned to it and get bogged down. So it's a very delicate point. That's why religion is so hard to understand. Like that. So because you can get bogged down and caught up and misuse it, therefore we warn about religion and how it can be misunderstood or misused. At the same time, it must be used. The conditioned soul must use religion. If you don't use God, you'll make up your own. You can't get by without religion. Otherwise, how can there be any social interaction? If each person has their own way of dealing and interacting, let's say everybody you meet has a different way to say hello. How will you interact? Right? One person shakes your hand, one person whacks you on the back, another person ruffles your head, another person sticks their finger in your ear. You know, another person sticks a finger in their ear. I mean, it's like, you don't know what's going on. Right? So you have a common platform of how to greet each other. Right? You know, so you can either say namaste or pranam, or you can go, hi, how you doing? But it has to be there. It's universal. Otherwise, how do you function? Right? So religion has to be there. So it's a necessary evil. Now, in applying that, you have to be able to take it farther. Okay, the man is married, and before being married, he was not such a good brahmacharya. Now that he's married, he's a very good brahmacharya, very pucker, right? Doesn't talk with his wife, doesn't waste his time in all this nonsense stuff like that. But the thing is what is the dharma of the grihastha? Grihastha, are they grihastha without a wife? Right? Women make grihastha. Right? It's the woman that needs the house. Right? So the man has the house. Why? Because there's a woman to put in the house. So then that means he's a grihastha because there's women. So then what is the meaning of grihastha brahmacharya? Does that mean he doesn't talk to the women? No, it means unless there is planned purpose to conceive a child, he doesn't have sex with the woman. That's the definition of grihastha brahmacharya. It's not that grihastha doesn't talk to his wife. No, that's not a grihastha. Okay? That's a person who doesn't have an ashram. Okay? And that position is never safe. So he has to know what is the nature of a grihastha, what is the nature of a woman, what is the nature of a child. And if he understands that, what is that dharma of woman, of child, of the house, of all, he'll deal with that properly. Yeah.
But he'll do that without attachment. That's the point. So we can see the attachment here. He'll say, I'm very detached. Yes, I never talk to my wife. But very detached. Actually, more attached. Why? Because if I'm not attached, I don't deal with it. Right? And if I'm attached, I deal with it. So he's not dealing with it because he's of attachment. Aversion and attachment are the same. Krishna, why was Arjuna not going to fight on the battlefield? Right? Because of his great spiritual detachment? Because he saw he wouldn't get the material result he was looking for. His material result was a kingdom that had everybody in it except Duryodhana and his brothers. That's all. Grandfather Bhishma would be there, Drona would be there, Kripa would be there, everybody else would be there. But when he got on the battlefield, he understood that is not what's going to be the result. If he wins, everybody he has affection for is going to be killed. Therefore, now he's very detached. Oh yes, you know, let them have it, yes. Very detached. No, he's so attached that the natural thing is it reverses. Right? That's the natural thing. You understand? You want something so much and if you can't get it, then you don't want it. Right? It's the natural. So therefore, this person won't die, they're very detached. No, they're very attached. That's the one thing. They're not attached, then out of duty, then they'll take care. How much time? But they'll only spend that much time. How much time is necessary? That will be spent. Not a minute more, not a minute less. They spend no time, always this, that, and it's always with the board, and it's just, no, very attached. And then the other example he gave is he'll marry, you know, Miss Universe because it's good for preaching. So now, grihastha means you show your wife off to everybody on the planet, right? Isn't that what grihastha life is? Right? Real grihastha dresses his wife halfway and then takes her out so everybody can see what, wow, this guy is really together. Let's look at the babe with him. Right? That's what grihastha life means? That's preaching? No. So then, grihastha life doesn't mean to show your wife to everybody in the universe. So therefore, that means this person doesn't understand what grihastha life is, nor does he understand preaching. Yeah. Okay, so he's got this wife, this universe, then. How does that open the door? You have to have some place to start in a conversation. Yes, your wife's Miss Universe. Yes, you know, Miss Universe, you know, universal form, and Krishna's universal form, so therefore, yes. But how that will be used in Krishna's service? You know what I'm saying? How is that going to... So one might think maybe that there's some particular individual, you know, material attraction there. But that's why one would say, you know, otherwise also, you know, why not you get one of these new Mercedes-Benz, also good for preaching. You know, I mean, so many things could be good for preaching. You know, you could run for it. Means now you're going out preaching. You're just one of the walls here. You know, if you become the Prime Minister of India, then how much preaching would you do? So therefore, you should run for, you know, I mean, kind of start out, at least become the MP, and maybe you can work your way up. Okay, what I'm saying is, you have to see is that one's own material desires need to be engaged in Krishna's service. That's the whole point of conditional life. But one has to see is one taking it far enough to understand what is the Dharma and the Krishna consciousness of it? Or is one just seeing one's own needs and stopping there? because then that's going down. Krishna says, listen, work for me. Then if not give the results, then if not at least be a nice guy. And then if you can't be a nice guy, then be a Mayavadi. That's the last of all. That's better than being somebody just a sinful nonsense. Because at least they're progressive and they understand the material world is not a place to be in. So it's, one has to see what that means. You know, okay, so then, okay, so if the preaching is Miss Universe, so why this guy should marry her? Is he the best guy to preach with Miss Universe? Maybe someone else would be better to marry Miss Universe, and he would be better preaching with Miss Universe. You know what I'm saying? Why him? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, one has to be careful that one takes it far enough to actually bring it to the point of what is the duty, what is Krishna in this, what am I supposed to understand? So it takes study. That's why the Gita is something, is a lifetime of study. Is that okay? We should probably end here.